This is the KGEZ Good Morning Show with John Hendricks and Robin Mitchell. Now, Glacier Bank's Community Conversations. 15 minutes with one of Northwest Montana's newsmakers.
Glacier Bank's totally free checking saves you both time and money. Visit your nearest Glacier Bank office today. There's a convenient location near you. Glacier Bank, member FDIC, and an equal housing lender. And today we welcome our Kalispell Police Chief, Jordan Venezio.
Hey, good morning. Thanks for having me.
Good morning to you. So I would imagine you're a pretty happy guy about this levy.
We are very happy. It was exciting to get the vote of confidence from the community and to have the resources that we need to give the community, the police department, they deserve.
Yeah, I mean, you guys really, you stepped out and really tried to help make this happen.
Yeah, our goal the whole time was to inform and educate as many people as possible on the realities that we're facing. And mm-hmm. we felt that if we did that, if we reached as many people as we could, then the vote would turn out this way.
And that's pretty much what we have to do anymore. We've got to spread out and make sure everybody understands the nuances of things, because it's pretty easy to get lost in the headlines.
It's very easy. It's very easy to get information that is false and misleading information. And just look at social media for anything. And, you know, it's tough to find that balance between you want to get ahead of some of these false headlines and put out information, but if you really just stay focused, reach people, tell the truth, educate them on the real facts and the realities that we're facing, then hopefully that is what prevails in the end.
So, next question is, what's next?
Well, there's a lot next. We have a, really what we need to do is move forward with a plan in a way that can guarantee success of these plans. We need to mm-hmm. do it in a scheduled way, in a way that we can make sure we can handle the growth. So we'll be hiring every 60 to 90 days. We're gonna have hiring cycles that we can balance our academy slots with our field training officers. The programs that we will be implementing, a proactive police work, we need to make sure that we have clear goals and objectives and how we can measure success and how we can let the community know that this levy and this vote of confidence is having outcomes. And we need to make sure that we do that in a way that's transparent and easy for our community to see.
That sounds great.
Yeah.
I wondered about the rollout. So in cycles.
Yeah, we're going to do it in cycles. And the biggest factors, especially for hiring, are onboarding, training, and academy slots. Mm-hmm. So the Montana Police Academy is like most areas of government right now. It's a little bit overburdened as far as the amount of officers they're trying to train. So with that, we may not get more than 3 or 4 slots in an academy. And on top of that, you can only train so many people at once.
Sure.
So we feel that if we can hire 4 to 5 at once in a 90-day cycle, get them through the academy, then that'll be a pace that we can handle and still have pretty immediate results.
Now, what about the hardware implementation? You're saying 4 or 5 officers. You're talking about gear for them and also vehicles. So how does that interface with this?
Yeah, so our first meetings that we have are budgetary, and we look at the facts that we laid out for the community and what they voted on, and we ensure that that's exactly what they get. So we outline the personnel. We outline what changes that personnel addition caused for equipment, training, and then we line those out. How many additional cars do we need? How many additional academy training costs do we need to add into the budget? Tasers, body cameras, all that. And that's already done, and we're moving forward with the budget stuff.
I wondered about the delivery time, because that's kind of out of your control.
It is. We've spoke about our vehicle issues before, and we're going to be 12 months out from ordering vehicles at a minimum of 12 months. So we'll order a couple additional patrol vehicles. We'll order a few additional detective vehicles, body cams, bulletproof vests, even IT licensing for criminal justice network information. And all of that is controlled, and all of that costs additional money, which part of the levy that equipment side was super important, because all this personnel, it costs a lot of money, and this allows us to maintain that for years to come.
And keeping officers on the street. And this is an interesting thing. NYPD, for example, I bring guy in when he's like 21 years old. He's retired by the time he's 41. Mm-hmm. He's still got a lot of life left in him, and he's got a lot of experience in some of the roughest police work in the country.
Right.
Is a guy like that somebody you'd like to recruit?
You know, it all depends. What we really focus on, and so experience, no doubt, is important, and a guy like that probably has a lot of experience. What we have found is that very large police departments, they don't necessarily have the same experience in the same way that our officers have. Our officers mm-hmm. have to do a lot more, as far as you're a small agency, so you're investigating more, you're doing more follow-up with the community, you're more engaged with the community. Some of the very large police departments, you know, they'll just go from call to call and pass it off to a special team that mm-hmm. comes in and does the more thorough things. So it really comes down to the individual. They can come from a large police department and be a fantastic addition, offer us a ton as far as training and experience.
Well, I'm thinking they maybe short-circuit the
academy,
the problems
issues
with the academy.
Yep. That's and we've had that. We've had times where we have been absolutely saved by lateral candidates. We hired 4 or 5 from California in the last few years, and they came at a time that we needed it, and they've been fantastic, and they brought great experience. Mm-hmm. But it can't be the deciding factor. What we really focus on is character and individuals.
The housing market here, is that going to be a prohibitive thing?
Yeah, I think it is. I think that there are things on the horizon and that are coming online that are making it more tolerable mm-hmm. as far as getting people in here. There's a lot of rental apartments coming online. So the other thing is, we're not the only place that has high housing. So yeah. if it's somebody that's moving from another area, selling a house, typically they can make it work. But it's those young families that are just trying to start out. Pretty prohibitive to mm-hmm. come in, which really leads us to push for locals. You know, I really want homegrown kids that want to serve their community, and they've been waiting for the time to make that leap. And now is that time for us. We have a lot of hiring coming up, and there hasn't been a better time to try to get on with the Kalispell Police Department.
Well, I got to tell you, there was a time when I probably would have been one of you.
Yeah.
There was a time I was military police, and I just decided I wanted to talk on the radio instead of but nonetheless, but I also understood the difficulty of the job. Mm-hmm. And boy, I tell you, I'm glad I chose what I chose, but I also deeply respect the work that your officers do.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now,
I'm curious about one thing, though, and that's, and this is more of a philosophical thing, I think, but what about one-man patrols versus two, or one officer versus two? I saw a situation yesterday over at Albertson's. I was there picking up some things on the way home, and I saw two officers coming in to investigate a situation. They were in two separate vehicles, and they obviously needed two guys there, mm-hmm. but what if that had been a two-person patrol? Would that have been more efficient?
You know, it really depends. I can tell you a two-person patrol is always safer. It's always safer for the community. It's always safer for the officer. It also costs a significant amount more for a community. You know, there's mm-hmm. there's things that we know in law enforcement that would absolutely reduce use of force, you know, officer injury, community injury, and one of those is two-person cars. But it, like everything, is what does the community want to pay for? Because that's exceptionally more expensive if we looked at staffing. Mm-hmm. Because you still need the separate cars to go to multiple calls, right? So yeah. if we only had 6 officers on duty and they were in just 3 cars, yeah, it's double the set of eyes in each car, but you can't divide, you can't, you know, I don't know what was going on at Albertson's.
But, I don't either, but...
But if there was a suspect that wasn't, maybe a victim was at Albertson's and another car has to go looking for the suspect, if it's just one car with 2 officers, that makes that harder.
Yeah.
But as in terms of just pure safety, yeah, a two-person
car. Well, this also requires each officer to be a lot better trained and yes. a lot more informed because, let's face it, you don't have each other to rely on.
Right.
Yeah.
Yep. And, you know, in the city, it's a benefit that we have where we have backup pretty quickly, being a city mm-hmm. police department. Yeah. You look at the sheriff's departments or highway patrol, they're one-person cars, and sometimes they're on their own for 30 minutes waiting for backup in some of the most dangerous situations. So we are fortunate here that even if we're one-person cars, we have help pretty quick.
Yeah.
Okay, now as far as new officers, you mentioned hiring locals. would be an objective because the housing situation is already taken care of.
Yep.
Does that include if you're still living at home with mom and dad? I wondered if you have an outreach program at Flathead Valley Community College or in the schooling system where these young people are trying to make a career decision.
Yeah, we're trying to take some different approaches that we haven't taken before. We're going to be looking at job fairs. We're doing one up at the community college, try to tap into that criminal justice program at the community college. You know, your question of, you know, living in mom's basement.
Yeah, that's right.
On one hand, it's nice to have the housing figured out. On the other hand, this is a very tough job where you need to show some maturity and some life experience to be able to handle some of the challenges that come. That doesn't mean that it's not, you know, possible. I'm positive we have people that work with us that still do a, you know, sharing, you know, situation with for rent, and that's not a
well. While you're looking to become independent and get housing,
Well, you mentioned that we've had some graduates from the academy. You brought in three new officers here about a week ago. One of them was the son of a former police chief.
Yes.
So let's dive into that with Jordan Venezio right after this.
This may seem like a silly question, but hear me out. My name is Courtney Holquist with Glacier Bank, member FDIC. When operating a business, would you rather things run smoothly or be a hassle? Easy answer, right? Using efficient products and services makes all the difference. Totally free business checking with Glacier Bank is one of those tools. It helps smart business owners like you keep profits up and costs down. Our totally free business checking requires no minimum to open and no monthly service charges. You also get 3,000 free monthly transaction items. Whether you're just starting out or expanding, Glacier Bank wants to keep your business running smoothly and succeed beyond your wildest dreams. Go to glacierbank.com, call, or visit. How about today?
Glacier Bank's Community Conversations. Here again is John Hendricks.
And today we're having a great conversation with Kalispell Police Chief Jordan Venezio. We got some new guys on the department.
Yeah.
I say guys, men, and women.
Yes, and that'll be a continual theme is we're going to be having new faces every few months, and that's a good problem to have, getting that training done.
Oh, sure. So we got five new graduates coming in?
We have two additional graduated last week. We have three that left for the police academy this weekend. And we have several more that are finishing up their field training right now.
So how does it all work? Give us the training schedule.
So typically, a perfect scenario would be hire right before a police academy. So hire, come here for a week and go to an academy. That is hard to work out perfectly. But what we require is you can't finish field training before going to the academy. So even if someone was here for 14 weeks and finishes our internal field training, we wouldn't let them work on their own until the police academy. Some places do. We just have that higher standard of until they've completed a police academy, we're not comfortable with letting them work in their own patrol car. So usually what we see is 4 to 6 weeks of in-house training before they go to the academy. They go there for 3 months, come back, finish up their field training program. Then they go on their own on a probationary basis up to their 1 year probationary period.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so you brought three new guys on. Got them confirmed here, 2 weeks ago?
Yes.
Yep.
Yeah, we had an officer, Michael Miller. He's from North Dakota. He was a deputy there. Officer Tyler Daniels, who is from Northern California. And then Officer Seth Garner. You know, Seth Garner, that's the last name that you recognize as the former police chief Frank Garner's son.
Yeah. He said he was honored to be standing there and pinning the badge on his son.
That's nice.
Yeah, it was a really, really cool moment to see. I can just imagine the pride that Frank felt.
Yeah, one of the things he said to us when we asked him about the living, he says, well, he said, my son, I'd really like to see him come home every night.
Yeah.
And that's really what this comes down there, just to give you guys the extra layer of safety.
Absolutely.
For your people.
Yes.
You know, this is a very nice community, but there are some bad actors out there.
There are, and I think people would be shocked at the dangers that our police officers face every day, the things that they go through on a weekly basis that a lot of people don't experience in their whole life. and they keep showing back up, and they keep putting on the uniform, and they do it, you know, day after day, week after week, for years. So they serve their community in this way, and it is so nice to see the community that recognizes that and supports that and wants more for them and is willing to pay for that.
One thing that Attorney General Austin Knutson brought up when we visited with him earlier in the week, and that was at the academy, he wishes that they had firearms training there.
Firearms training at the academy is pretty minimal. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So they do a basic qualification course, but it's definitely an area where you'd want more.
So how do you supplement that?
So we have a firearms program built in-house. We also do monthly training. So with our schedule, every Monday, every officer at the police department works. And how we rotate that is every 8 weeks, it's different training topics from Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu to firearms. And we have a firearms team leader that runs our firearms program and does a fantastic job where our department gets significant firearms training.
Yes. Wow. Yeah. So you're on it all the time.
Yeah.
Now, what is covered at the police academy? Just quickly, outline, like, sketch.
From the whole academy?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Really they cover constitutional law, arrest tactics, they cover investigations, basically everything at a very basic level so that when you go back to your police department, you can hone that further. They cover driving.
Pit maneuvers and the like?
Not pit maneuvers, but more like pursuit driving.
Okay.
They don't do pit maneuvers. A lot of agencies don't utilize a pit maneuver anymore. And they cover self-defense, firearms, driving,
okay.
DUI investigations, domestic violence investigations.
So let's talk technology with our police chief right after this.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
How's your day going? All right? Well, it's about to get even better. This is Jolene for Glacier Bank, member FDIC. I have news that will help your life run smoother, more efficiently, and maybe just a little more fun. Glacier Bank's brand new online banking platform has launched. That's right, your better banking experience is here. Go online or download our new Glacier Bank app in the App Store or Google Play Store. This platform is a pleasure to navigate, and it securely takes care of your banking needs quickly so you can get back to your day or night. Experience streamlined 24/7 access from your computer, tablet, and smartphone. We know you are going to like it.
Glacier Bank's Community Conversations. Here again is Robin Mitchell.
We're talking with Kalispell Police Chief Jordan Venezio. Efficiency, that's what it's all about, I guess. Streamlining. Tell us about the online reporting portal.
Yeah, online reporting is something that we've had for several years. I don't believe we utilized it to its full potential yet. And a lot of that is just due to, you know, trying to engage as long as we can into that really personal contact with every caller. But typically what we'll see that used for are crimes not in progress when there's not evidence for law enforcement to collect. So a great example would be you go out to your car in the morning, you had left the vehicle unlocked, you notice the door is cracked open and your wallet is missing. Or maybe not your wallet, maybe a fishing rod that you had in there is missing. Mm-hmm. There's no video evidence, you have no suspect, you have no idea who did it. You can go online, fill out that report. It'll be assigned a case report number and everything's documented, you know, internally, just as if you were to speak to a police officer.
Okay.
Would there be a follow-up on it?
Yeah, there would still be the same follow-up as if an officer took it, as far as if the item's located. A lot of the times they're located in pawn shops is where we find them. We're able to follow up that way.
Mm-hmm. What about that database with pawn shops that was started years ago? Has that developed?
It has. We have a volunteer that actually looks at that full time and really tries to keep the pawn shops on top of meeting the requirements that they're supposed to, putting in information, serial numbers on items. Mm-hmm. You know, one thing that the good pawn shops realize is that they buy a significant amount of stolen property, and they know that. And the good pawn shops will work with us without any resistance because they don't want that. They know it's unavoidable sometimes. They do their best, but they're going to buy stolen property. And that the ordinance and this Leeds Online program allows that to be pretty easy communication between law enforcement and them.
So, now, what happens when they buy stolen property? Do they take the loss then financially?
Yes. So if they buy stolen property, we issue what's called an administrative warrant that requires them to hold it for 30 days, and they either need to prove that it's not stolen or release the property to us, and we give it to the owner. Okay. Now, having said that, we need to be very clear and know that it is in fact stolen property. So it has to be clear whether it's a serial number or, you know, very unique identifying
specific
marks.
Yes.
Well, you know, that's one thing we should all do is make sure we have our serial numbers on all of our stuff.
We should, and we should also understand that the things that seem too good to be true, they actually are all the time.
Now, when it comes,
if you're getting a really good deal on something, it's probably stolen.
But if we've got our serial numbers, you know, stored somewhere, and if something does go missing, you guys have an opportunity to find it and positively identify it.
Yes, I would say it's more rare than not for someone to actually have all that.
Okay, now...
So most people do not have...
Specifically...
Yeah, I don't. Yeah.
Young people should do something to identify their bicycles, I would imagine.
Yeah, a lot of the times it's as simple as stickers.
Yeah.
You know, stickers that are identified on the bike, or they engrave
under
something
the,
on the bottom of the frame that identifies it.
We used to get bicycle licenses in Kalispell.
When I started, they did that.
I was a kid, every time I got a new bike, I had to go get a new license.
Yeah.
And they wanted to make sure that I had my bike was safe.
Right.
That was a big deal. Well, I rode that bike all over this town.
That's good.
Gosh, what a great conversation as always. Congratulations on getting the levy passed.
Thank you. I know
that it's going to be a lot of work for you as the police chief administering all this stuff and keeping everything moving.
It will be, but it's something that we're very proud to shoulder that and get results for their community and what they deserve.
And I think the emergency services did an excellent job of informing and getting the publicity out there. We appreciate you visiting with us.
Thank you both.
Yeah. Jordan Venezio, thanks so much. It's Glacier Bank's Community Conversations, a service of Glacier Bank where your checking is totally free. Just about anywhere you are in Northwest Montana, you'll find a Glacier Bank office nearby, keeping you connected to your friends and your community, an important part of the mission of Glacier Bank. Member FDIC and an equal housing lender.